Luke chapter 2. Not one of you here would have any idea what the title of my message is going to be tonight. But I'll tell you what it is. Happy New Year. So, we're going to read three passages that have to do with greetings, and we'll see if we can put them together as we go along. One of them, we've been hearing since Christmas time, and that will be the first one because there is a chronological order here, and let's see what it is. Verse 2:8, and there were shepherds in the same country abiding in the field, keeping watch by night for their flock. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Please notice it says, the glory of the Lord shone round about, not the glory of this angel. The glory of the Lord, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the only construction in the Bible this exact way. And it can be translated, who is Christ, Jehovah, the Lord. And this is the sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing that is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now, Matthew chapter 9. Verse 2. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? For which is easier, to say, arise and walk? But if you may note that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, then said he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they were afraid, and glorified God, who had given such authority unto men. And now let's go to Acts 27. Paul is being taken as a prisoner to Rome, and with this great storm that has been raging, in verse 27 it says, 14 days, this is the 14th night, and just before that, in verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars shone upon us for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was now taken away. And when they had been long without food, then Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have set sail from Crete and have gotten this injury and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God, whose I am, whom also I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must stand before Caesar, and lo, God hath granted thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even so as it hath been spoken unto me. But we must be cast upon a certain island. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for every portion of the Word of God. Let us know that some bring joy and some bring sorrow. Let us know the similarity of the portions that we have read together tonight. And so we pray, our God, that they shall all contribute indeed to a happy new year. So by thy Spirit, empower and illumine and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. You know our sins, we confess them, as you have promised, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and give us a good time together, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Now, I shall try in the will of the Lord to only tell you happy things tonight. I could reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, but all the portions that I read to you tonight are happy portions. And this is the way it is. Some messages should be sorrowful messages, and some messages should be joyful messages. Now, if it happened to be the Day of Atonement, I would have to bring you a sorrowful message, because that day they had to fast, they had to afflict their soul, and if nobody would be in that condition of heart, they were to be cut off from Israel. But if we happen to come to what they call the Feast of Booths, you had to be happy 7 days. And so, if it were that time, I would have to give you a joyful message. So, I could preach to you from a sad psalm. And does anyone happen to know offhand what the saddest psalm in the Bible is? If I tell you, remind me later. You'll look it up. But it is one psalm that is the saddest psalm in the whole Bible. You'll not find one ray light. There are some that start out sad. It says, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. But what we're going to do is to be like those in the book of Nehemiah, who when they heard the word of God, they were filled with sorrow and weeping because they understood that they were sinners and the word of God was convicting them. But this was their exhortation. You are not to be sorrowful. You are to rejoice. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Send presents one to another. And so it was a time of rejoicing. And all the scriptures that I have read to you are scriptures of rejoicing. If you notice, you have three different words. You wouldn't notice this unless you were reading it in the Greek. But there are three words that begin with the word you. There is the word you, angelizo, which means good words, good news. And there is the word eudakia, which means good thoughts, good feelings. And there is the word eumeo, which means good emotion. And these are three of the words. And then there is another one that is pharseo, which our Lord uses again and again, which is be of good cheer. And it can be translated be of good comfort, be of good courage. So all of these words, why, they're filled with joy and hope and encouragement. And these are the scriptures that I'm going to bring to your attention the first Wednesday of the new year. And it should be joyful also because the first Sunday of this new year, a very great event took place. In 1927, I was born. And so, the first Sunday was my birthday, and this is the first Wednesday, and God has graciously allowed me to minister to God's people 40 years officially and over 50 years casually. So, this is what I'm going to tell you tonight. I want you to notice that these comforting messages, these encouraging greetings, were given at three distinct times. One was given by an angel, one was given by the Lord Jesus himself, and one was given by the Apostle Paul. One was given the day of Christ's birth, the other was given during Christ's ministry, and the third was given after Christ had gone back to heaven and his apostles had taken up the command that he gave, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Go, preach, and this is what Paul is doing. So, we have good things from an angel, and we have good things from the Lord Jesus, and we have good things from the Apostle Paul. So, this is what we are to consider. The first is from the angel, and it is on the day of Christ's birth. And this is what is so thrilling, that the angel who was present and announced the day of Christ's birth, that same angel was also present the day that the Word God, now become flesh, created all the angels and all things. Because it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that hath made that hath been made. And this is what it says in Job 38. Job had been contending that God was dealing unfairly with him, and finally when God did come and speak to him, he said, gird up your loins like a man. He said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And Job has nothing to say. But Job was not there. But the angels were. He said, when I brought creation into existence, it said, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And the Lord Jesus was he who, the day of creation, had first of all created the angels. And they were there when he brought everything else into existence. And now, this is a marvel. The Creator is created, because it says, a body hast thou prepared me. And in John 1:14 it says, the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Here is the Creator become a creature, not ceasing to be God, but God manifest in the flesh. And what is so remarkable is that the angels were with him the day of creation. And now an angel and angels are with him on the day that he was created. Understand that the Lord Jesus was made by the Father himself. A body hast thou prepared me. Now, after the angel comes and speaks to them, and this angel is unnamed, I want to bring this to your attention first of all. It says that when he was there, the glory of the Lord shone round about. This is not the angel's glory. You'll find in portions like Revelation 18 that an angel came and the earth was lightened with his glory. But it says the glory of the Lord. And what is so thrilling is this. When it speaks of the glory of the Lord, that means that God himself is present there. When the tabernacle was finished and it was dedicated, it says the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And in 2 Chronicles 5, when the temple was finished, it says the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the Lord Jesus is pictured in that tabernacle. And when the symbol of Christ was completed, the glory of God was there. And when his son was made flesh and was born in Bethlehem of Judea, when the eternal one had a beginning, God in his glory was there. But one other thing. If I read it correctly, it says that after this one angel made an announcement, it said, suddenly there was with him a multitude of angels. If you want to know the number of angels, I can give you a rough estimate. 200 million are mentioned in Daniel chapter 7, but then it says thousands of thousands. And what he is seeking to do by those numbers is to simply tell us they are an innumerable company of angels. And this word multitude is used for such a company and such a number. Your children, your offspring, shall be in multitude as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the sea. And it may very well be that heaven was emptied after that angel made the announcement. And it says, suddenly there was with him a multitude of heavenly hosts. And this is what they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I take it just as it is. Son, if you have any more modern translations change it, but this is what you will find. And I'm keen on a correct text. But if you change it to the way the modern translations and even this 1901, if you looked at it, you would see Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. And then you will see that I've marked out the last words and given what's in the footnote, good will toward man. I can't go into it, but they've changed it to such a construction, and this is what is humorous, that the message that was given by the angel to the shepherds that is so simple, the way that I read it to you, and I shall explain it to you in the will of God, once they change one letter, instead of Eudokia, they make it Eudokios, then not one of them can tell you exactly what is meant. I can't go into details. The greatest scholars in the world, they'll say, well, it may mean this, and it may mean that, but it may mean another thing. We do not know exactly what it means. Now think of the folly of that. That God has come from heaven, and he's giving a message to simple shepherds, and he tells them something that is so obscure and abstruse that they have no idea what he's talking about, that all the modern scholars can only guess at what is meant, but they're quite content to change it that way. Isn't that absurd? And so, just take it as the King James gave it, and this is what they say. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it's goodwill among men, but it may be translated goodwill toward men. Now, you might think that when they say glory to God in the highest, that they may be saying in the highest possible way. But the word highest is in the plural, and it means in the highest places. And so first, it's glory to God in the highest places, and the highest place is God sitting upon his throne in heaven. And then contrast, and on earth, peace, and then the inhabitants of earth, good will toward men. And it's a strange thing that when something pertaining to Christ occurs, that instead of praising Christ, they say glory to God, except for this. They say glory to God, and they give this description of praise to God and his message to mankind because of what is involved. This is what it says in Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness of God and his love toward man appear. Do you understand what that means? Why they are saying glory to God in the highest places? Because his love and his kindness toward man has appeared. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, and it appears in the person of Jesus Christ. And for that reason, he who is the author of this salvation, the author of this good news, good tidings, of great joy, is God the Father, and therefore glory to God in the highest places, in heaven. And then, he who is the author of it all, this glory that came from him and is given to him, now focuses upon earth. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. So, this is the message. This is the happy announcement that's given to you by the angel for a New Year's greeting. Thank God for it. And this is John in Revelation. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from the Father, from the Spirit, and from the Son. And so here is this angel giving greetings, and they pertain to the glory of the Father, who is the author of salvation. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And our response, glory to God in the highest. He's given his Son. His kindness and his love toward men have appeared. Glory to God. And it's the same way in the prayer our Lord told his disciples to pray. It's our prayer, but we pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We refer to God and his holiness and his attributes first of all. And now, even though we're talking about the salvation that is given to man, we first say, glory to God, and then after thy, hallowed be thy name, then give us this day our daily bread. Then glory to God, and then we get down to peace on earth, goodwill toward men. it is always God first. Just as Elijah found that widow that was starving to death, and she had a handful of meal and a little oil, and she was going to bake a little food and divide it between herself and her son, and then she was going to die. And Elijah said, me first. And so the first thing he gives glory to God. So it did. When in Luke 17, the 10 lepers were cleansed, one came back, fell upon his face, and with a loud voice glorified God. So he understood that though Christ was the one who healed him, the glory and the source of the blessing came from God. So this is the message. Glory to God in the highest. Why? Because his kindness and his love and the gift of his son have been given to us. The promises of Genesis, the promises in Genesis 3:15 that the woman's seed is going to come has occurred. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. That has occurred. Glory to God. And therefore, since it has occurred, the potential is this. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward man. That's why God gave his son. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, the purpose of God sending his son to earth is to give peace. And let me tell you a lovely definition of that word. It says in Acts chapter 7 that two of the Israelites in Egypt were contending with one another, and it said Moses tried to put them at one, make them one. And that's the word peace. And so here is the earth that is filled with turmoil, hatred, separation, and God sends his son and he says peace on earth. Peace among men, yes, but also, as it says in Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And so when Christ is given, God is glorified, and then there is the potential for peace on earth and goodwill toward man. And this word goodwill is good pleasure, and this is the same word that the Father speaks of his Son at his baptism. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the word is translated, it has been the good pleasure of these Christians to give a gift to these Christians. So, good pleasure. So, peace on earth and God's good pleasure to do good things to those that are in need, good will, good pleasure toward men. Now, I must stop there and go to the next. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about those other things. But understand, this is what happens. And this is the first greeting on the day of Christ's birth, because there is a religious New Year and there is a civil New Year. And when it comes to forgiving sin, you'll find that, as it says in Exodus chapter 12, this shall be the beginning of month unto you. And that is the time of the Passover, about the month of April. So there is a religious beginning and a civil beginning. So here is the birth of Christ for peace and for the salvation of the world. And just this is so interesting. It says that God's gift was peace on earth. And you read in Revelation chapter 6 verse 4 that one of the horsemen that came in the seals was opened, was on a red horse, and it was given to him to take peace away from the earth. And so that is the contrast. When God's Son is born, he brings peace to the earth. And when all of these political individuals, these great persons in the world come, they take peace away from the Lord. And so remember, that is part of who he is. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so God is his Son and peace to the earth. Now, just this. Here is the day that Christ is born, and some looked at that child and saw the potential, because when Simeon took that little baby in his arms when he was going through the ceremonies in the temple, he looked at the Savior, and he said, now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But the child isn't born. The child is still nursing. And yet Simeon looked in that child, and he said, this is all that's needed. This is God's salvation. And so the second scripture I gave to you, found in Matthew chapter 9, it is the Savior who has increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, and now, having been baptized, he goes into his ministry on earth. And in Matthew chapter 9, this is his ministry, and this is Christ greeting the simple man. One comes desirous of physical healing, but the Lord Jesus has looked into his heart, and he knows that there is the desire and the willingness to be healed spiritually as well. And so this crippled man, before anything is done for the purpose which his friend brought him to Christ, the Lord Jesus said, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. And so that was the most important thing. Think of this. What better greeting could you receive on earth than the promise from the lips of that baby who caused the words, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men, to hear the Lord Jesus look upon you and say, son, your sins are forgiven. Who can tell us, when Christ says your sins are forgiven, that they are yet to be forgiven? The Lord Jesus has made that pronouncement, son, thy sins are forgiven. And so this is what Christ can do. When he came from heaven, he said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And he said, if you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, you take up your bed and go home with it. And he did it. He said, it's just as easy for me to say one thing as the other. And so this is the greeting for the new year from the Lord Jesus, that he is prepared to forgive you your sins, and he will tell you when your sins are forgiven. He told that woman in Luke chapter 7, he said, daughter, thy sins are forgiven. He told Zacchaeus that his sins were forgiven. He said, today is salvation come to this house. He said that that publican that went into the temple and smote upon his breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, that sinner went home justified. And so that is the message that comes from God, that God sent his son to save the world and not condemn the world. And when you go to him and you have that faith, the Lord Jesus will speak those words of peace to you. Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. And now, Christ has gone back to heaven, but he has the 12, and he has the Apostle Paul, and all of their converts. The things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men, who shall be able to tell others. And finally, the message has come to us. But what is so important about the message in Acts chapter 27 is this, that sometimes you do not have faith to believe the good things that God has promised, but a more spiritual man, a more holy man, a man more mature in faith, has faith to believe it. 14 days in the sea during a storm, and it says all hope that we should be saved was gone. And the Apostle Paul calmly stands up and he says, be of good cheer, nothing to worry about. He said, an angel of the God, whose I am, whom I serve, stood by me this night. And he said, Paul, he said, the one that you've been praying for, God has given every one of them to you. And he said, sir, be of good cheer. He said, I believe God, that it shall be even as it has been spoken unto me. And so you may not believe it, but thank God I do, and some others believe it, and there may be some things that you have a greater faith to believe than I do. And the important thing is that not everyone has to believe it. It says, because some are without faith, shall they make the promise of God without effect? God forbid. And so here is the blessing from Paul. He says this, and here are we going through life on a ship and under the storm, and it seems as if we'll never make it through life. But Paul says, you have nothing to worry about. You'll come safely through the storm. The ship is going to be lost, but God has told me that you're going to come safely through it. So these are the messages from God, that the promises of God have been fulfilled in Christ, that Christ is he who forgives sins, and then through the Apostle Paul, all the promises of God are going to be fulfilled, and he will take us safely through this life, and he will present us to the Father. It says this, that God will take us through life and keep us and protect us and afterwards lead us to glory. So the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, and our sufferings now and the glory that should follow. After all, after you have suffered a little while, God himself shall perfect, establish, settle you. To God be the glory. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And now, Brother Garn, what time does it say? Oh, let's pray. Now, Father, we give you thanks for all the encouragement that you give us in the Bible. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Be of good hope. We're so thankful. Let not your heart be troubled. We're so glad that you tell us those things. You know the tendency of the heart to be heavy, the heart to be broken. Let us know the depressing things in life. We're glad that there are those words that speak of your good thoughts and good disposition and good words and all of these things that we considered this new year. And they were for them of old and they are for us today. So let us lay hold on these things. And we thank you, Father, that your kindness and love toward man have appeared and they've come into our hearts and they've given us that peace. Now, let the peace that passeth understanding be ours. And let us rejoice and let us enter into that abundant life that Christ came to give. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.